Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the latest Brainstorm Brewery.
No, we're not sure.
Alright. 0% chance, that's
no.
It. Fair enough, I gave it my shot, I'm gonna go back and read.
Welcome everyone to a very special Brainstorm Brewery. This is a baby making podcast. You know what that means? It means you're gonna be making some babies talking about the MTG Finance. We're joined by Jason Ault. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Jason. Hey everybody, I'm Jason. Yeah, and I'm Marcel. And we got Ryan Bushard. Go ahead and say hi, Bushard. Say something, Bushard. Ain't no Bushard here? Fine, we move to the
Oh,
you guys are clowning around? You think this is a funny podcast? This is a serious finance podcast. We joined by Ray Future Pro, a.k.a. Raymond Perez, just won a PTQ. He's going to be going to Dublin. Say hello, Ray Perez.
Raymond motherfucking Perez.
Oh, it's a PG-13 podcast.
You Mother keep effing Perez. Shit
to a minimum.
Jason, that is just, oh my God, you deserve an award for that.
That's our podcast.
Yep.
It's not gonna get any better, I promise.
Shouldn't have said that. Nobody would have known that was me.
Not at all.
Let's move into M14 smoothly because that's gonna take.
It's spoiler week. All the cards are out. This is, the episode where we all go through them and talk about the cards we think are overpriced or underpriced or in this case, mostly just suck.
Woo!
Hey, hold up. Before we do that, I wanna bring up one topic of the finance. I wanna hear you guys' opinion. You know the blacked out planeswalkers that's going to be at the Comic Con?
Yes.
So they said that there will be on sale for $65 on the website. So what do you guys think about these? Are they good pickups? Do you think they're going to sell out very fast?
If they see how many are in stock and you watch for every hour on the hour and see how many are still in stock. And if it just like plummets, you just buy as many as you can.
Are they selling the actual promos or the figures?
The box or whatever the pack is.
Okay.
So whatever it is, the people at the Comic Con are getting for $60. You can buy it online for $65.
It certainly makes it not worth going.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree that they're really sweet. It really is just a question of how many are going to exist.
They said it's going to be very limited numbers. So I mean, based off of say that information, and we've seen limited numbers when it comes to.
I bet there'll be a spike early. I think on them, and then they maybe depends how good they are after that, or just kind of how desirable and how many there are. You know, as you move forward.
Maybe it'll be another tote bag. You never know.
So would you guys buy them? Are you going to buy a set for 65 or are you going to buy a
65 seems fine. It's $13 a planeswalker. Like some of those are $13 planeswalkers already that aren't all sweet.
Yeah.
Like that seems like a snap buy at 65.
So what would be the maximum you would buy? What would be the number that you would feel comfortable buying just based off of the information?
150 would be like probably more than I would want to pay. It just really depends how many of the sets there are. If there are like 10,000 sets, then you know, but if they give out 500, they give out 500 sets, I'm happy paying 15 to like as much as 30 or 40 bucks a planeswalker because there just won't be any of them.
No, what I'm saying is if you could buy these sets online based off the information, how many of these sets online would you just snap by right now?
At 65?
At 65.
Four sets.
I feel like the answer should be either all of them or none of them.
I feel like the answer is actually more a matter of how much you can afford to drop on them, because they're not going to be something that is going to instantly go up unless you want to bust them and only sell the ones that spike.
Well, no, it depends, though, because if they are selling them, if they're guaranteeing them at 65, but there's just so few that they sell out really quick and people want them, then they're going to be going on eBay for 150 or whatever. So, like, it's not necessarily a matter of they're going to go up over time. It's just, are there going to be few enough that buying them like that is an easy clip? So, like, and I feel like, I mean, It's, you wait till they kind of go on sale. You see what pre-orders on eBay are at and things like that. See what happens.
Weren't the pre-orders like 400 a set on eBay? I feel like I saw that.
Yeah, somewhere I've seen that also online. 400. That's saying they got it or even sold, but it was up for 400. But while we keep talking about this, let's move on to this
M14's so exciting. Let's talk about it.
Oh, it's the best set ever, man.
Oh, I mean, shut up, Corbin. Man. Well,
they got four merfolk, though. Bam. Right, 4 + 4 = 8.
Does somebody want to explain the system of how we rank cards, or do you guys want me to do it?
Do it, Corbin.
Okay. So,
you're the officious one.
Okay, guys. So the system we use to score these cards, we used to use a number system. Now we're going to use a letter system of an A through an F. So obviously it works just like it did in school. An F is a card that we think has no financial opportunity. We think that, you know, if you have these, you open them, just get rid of them. If you work your way on up to like a C is a card you're okay with having. You know, you're not in a rush to get rid of them. You're fine trading for them, but you don't necessarily see a ton of opportunity. All the way up to, you know, an A or an A plus or whatever, which is buy all the copies at retail. And like a B is, you know, you maybe buy copies if you find them cheap, but you don't, you know, just go buy out the internet. So that's where we're at, with the scale. It's fine. I mean, it's what we can do. It's a good way for people to look at something and kind of break it down into trade targets for the weekend.
Let's break it down.
Well, since we have Ray here this week, do we want him to do like the same scale or, you know, crapshoot at prices, or do we want him to do actual playability?
I want Ray to tell us whether cards are good because he's good at Magic and we're not.
I can do that.
So he can just say, you just give us your playability scale and tell us why, and then we'll talk about what we think the prices can be.
Sounds good.
We're also going to, the way we do this is, if a card's a bulk rare, and we think it's going to say a bulk rare, we're not going to spend 5 minutes talking about it. So, you know, if you don't hear something mentioned, that's what it is. You know, we're going to give you guys a little credit and assume that you know that, you know, a bulk rare is going to say a bulk rare. Like, nobody's clamoring that indestructibility is going to go up, so, like, why even waste time talking about it? Besides, right?
I was going to say indestructibilities.
Jason.
All right, yeah, so nobody would ever say that.
let's break this down by color, starting with white. A Johnny Collar of the Pride. It's a reprint. Ray, how good is this card? We were kind of excited about it last year, and it didn't do a ton.
Some of us were excited.
Ryan was really excited about it.
I remember it was going to replace Elspeth.
Oh, I'm trolling weekends.
It's still just as good. I've seen that it had a slight playability in the sideboard of Hexproof decks. And I think that's all it's going to be for now. If there's like a more heavier token theme or a token viability theme that comes out of a Theros, then that might go up just because it's really good to have him on three and then like be able to pump up your little guys. Obviously it's not like the same as a gold main, but there's not too many things that are good outside of Hexproof that you want counters on unless they're tokens because you don't care if they die. Or like that's why I think it's seen so much play in Hexproof.
Okay.
Doesn't this get worse without Exalted?
Yes, I think so. Just because, yeah, if you have one guy that's hexproof and exalted, then it gets so many triggers. So I think that's a huge thing too, that once exalted leaves, then that's gonna be gone. Plus, I mean, once the rotation happens from Theros, you lose like Geist of St. Traft and Invisible Stalker, which will like be two of the prime candidates you want to target with the Johnny. So I think as far as playability goes, it's the same that it's been before. M14 really didn't add too much to that. And then after rotation, something good out of Theros has to come out. For it to spike.
So it's $5 pre-order right now on cool stuff. What do you guys think?
I have to think it's probably like B- C+. It's not quite to the point where I want to go actively trade for them, but if I get them to shore up a deal, I'm okay with it because I don't think they can really go lower. And I feel like if it sees any amount of play, it's definitely going to go up from 5, even with it being a reprint. It's a reprint, a set that no competitive players really want to buy, so they're still going to have to go find them. So I have no problem taking them and trade early on at 5.
I'll give it probably a D+. I still think it's going to dip down some more. I mean, this card, it's not going to see play. There's going to be more copies in the market.
That's why I say C, because I mean, like, I'm fine having these because I don't think it's going to go much lower than $5 because most planeswalkers don't retail wise. So that's kind of where I'm at. But at the same time, I'm not super thinking if it's not going up now when you can go like turn one pilgrim into turn two this. And then, you know, play a Geist or whatever. I don't think it's going to go much higher in the future. But I'll say the downside is minimal, so.
I'm going to give it a C because I'm still confused about the difference between numbers and letters. And if I say C, I'm not far off if it's either an A or an E. So I'm going to hedge.
An A or an E, huh?
Now, you know, I give it a D. It was bad before. It got played in one or two decks, and now it's been reprinted. Like, there's no financial opportunity here. Planeswalkers are always good to, like, jam in my case and sell for, like, $5 or, like, raffle off. It's a Planeswalker. But at the same time, like, we've talked about it too long already.
We have Archangel of Thune. This is one of the cards that people are talking about. Will it do something? Will it not do something?
It's a bank player.
I think the price is going to go up Thune.
Very much a casual
See what card. I did there?
Go away. Don't come back.
Oh.
It's a bank player, right? Okay, anyways, the card is a 5 mana, 3 colorless, 2 white, 3/4 flyer, lifelink. Whenever you gain life, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. Thoughts? Anybody like it?
It's Ray? A $20 pre-order.
It's going
to I think it only is because
There's
it's an April.
There's been one time in history where $20 on a pre-order was correct.
I don't think this card is good. I would not play this card. It wants to be a Bane Slayer, but it's not. If there was a way to protect it, then I would like to play it, but as is, it doesn't have immediate effect. It doesn't have protection from colors or monsters.
It has an immediate effect. It's a 3/4 flying lifelink.
Soul Sister.
You have to attack with it first.
So it's a Seraph of Dawn, but better.
No, it seems totally good and limited.
I mean,
I agree with Marcel. That's where I'm at.
But a 2/4 flying lifelink was good and limited, but not good enough to be mythic. That was an uncommon.
If you play it with a Soul Warden in play, it triggers immediately.
But you're playing God. Soul Warden.
Then you have a 4 or 5 that still dies to Doomblade.
Yeah. 5 mana in Soul
Warden. No. Your whole bullshit, like you can't use removal as an argument, that's totally not valid in the current standard. With things like and stuff still running around, there's too many value creatures to be playing this guy.
Yeah, I would not be playing that.
1/1 counters on your whole team. Yep, died to removal though. Dang.
Well, it's not more so that it dies to removal, it just doesn't have an impact on the board state as is like.
Right, unless you have like something that causes you to gain life when it comes into play, which sure is not.
Corbin, shut up. Listen to the pro player and he'll tell you why it's bad.
I'm a green.
Go ahead, Ray.
I'm just saying, is that you played in a deck like that.
I don't know. Those decks aren't too good either. Like Soul Sisters hasn't done anything in Modern in a long time. I still stand that. Like that's the deck that you'd want it in. Maybe something will come out. Like, this type of card may be good if it's something like, it all comes back to Theros. Like, right now there's nothing for it. Like, a lot of cards in this set you'll find, there's nothing that it directly impacts for Standard. And, that's mostly what I'll be talking about, because that's where I am. Like, Modern isn't a thing yet, or for like the season-wise. But, yeah, until Theros comes out, like, we don't know. Like, if there's something really good in there that, like, can you match up with this, and I can see it being $20, $30, even $40, $50, depending on how good that deck archetype is, like Voids. But as is, like, there's no way I would ever seek this card out for Standard.
Yeah, so would you rate it? I'd give it a D-.
I also say D-.
I think it's a D at $20, but I don't think it's a D at $10.
Well, it's $20 right now, so.
I mean, yeah, I think at the current, I think it's an F. I think the moment you move this, you put it on a buy list for $10+, because it's going to be that much in a month.
That's fair. Okay. This is a solid argument for an F.
Yeah, like,
I don't think it's complete crap though.
Isn't a D or an E like pack this and sell it? Even if it's a good card? So like, yeah, so pack this and sell it.
Yeah, it's not absolute complete crap. Run away from it at all costs. I mean, if you want to dump it.
At the current price, I want it as fast as I can. So I guess like, yeah, we're on different scales, but that's enough to me is like, just get out of it at pre-release price.
Yeah, we can't, we don't have to all agree. So that's.
So,
next one,
I think.
An F.
We can probably all agree, yeah. Devout Invocation, it's a bulk mythic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I think this could be easily $2 or $3 on a buy list. I'm just remembering that, Army of the Damned or whatever that put the 13 zombies into play.
It was $1 for a while.
It was like $2.50 on the buy list for a while. Like, yeah. It just randomly, like, this could randomly be a card that you, like, pick up at a quarter and then all of a sudden it's $2 on the buy list. You're gonna have a small window on that,
But the pre-sale is probably like $5. I think you want to give them as soon as you can.
Yeah, I bet the pre-sale on that is.
That's what I'm saying. All right. So moving on, Johnny's chosen.
Why don't we say what the pre-release price actually is, so we don't.
Because I thought it was a bulk method. We're all going to agree that it was a bulk method.
It's like $1.75 to $2. So okay. I don't want to pay $2. We're
going to give it $3.
Yeah. Okay. Now this next one I think is at least an interesting design. Johnny's chosen. 4 costs, 2 colorless, 2 white, 3/3. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, put a 2/2 white cat token into play. If that enchantment is an aura, you may attach it to the token. Now, so is this like living armor for enchantments? Or not living weapon for enchantments? Is that kind of what this is supposed to be?
I don't know. Like, aren't we losing Rancor and all the good enchantments we want to be putting on stuff like this? It just seems kind of casual.
Yeah, it does to me. I honestly didn't even realize you could, like, do this. I thought as soon as an enchantment entered, your ability will trigger, but then state base effects happen and your enchantment dies because it doesn't have a target. I don't know if that's true or not.
You probably have to target this guy, and then when it comes into play, it switches it over.
Exactly.
These are a buck for reference. You can get a set of these for $385 on eBay.
I have no problem trading for these. I don't want to go buying them, but I'm pretty happy taking these at a dollar at any pre-release.
I call it a B.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, B.
I say a C. I think it's not that great. Dollar's not right. That's going to be like a dollar.
What I'm more interested about with this card is if this is like a precursor for Theros or something that's going to be enchantment based.
That's possible.
Yeah.
This isn't a design we've seen before, so.
They have other enchantment cards going on. They have other enchantment cards.
Enchantment and tribal based.
I hope not tribal.
What?
I hope not tribal.
Excuse me. The next one. Now, this is a very powerful effect. I'm not sure if that translates to the card or not.
No, it's. If it were that powerful, people would still be playing Blind Obedience.
I mean, the control decks do. But anyways, Imposing Sovereign, it's a 2-1 for 2, white creature. One color is one white. Creatures your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped. Ray, what did tell us about this card, please?
I think it's sweet. I think that it would be, like, if there's a deck out there that wants to be creature-based and not spell-based, like a black-white bear deck in Standard or something, then I think this is exactly the type of effect they want, because it shuts off Thunder Maws. It shuts off Obsnet, shuts off,
Hellrider,
pretty much all the haste guys. Everyone that will, like, definitely put you in imminent death, they shut off, and then it also allows you to also be more aggressive. From a control aspect, you definitely want to just play Blind Obedience because it's just better. But I think it's cool. I think that, it definitely might see sideboard play. That's exactly where it would be. Maybe main deck if they really want to, like, go onto a human theme hardcore, but definitely sideboard.
Like, well, it's a control deck that doesn't run sweepers. Like, that seems like a really small list.
No, I'm saying, like, there's, like, a black-white, like, I was working on a black-white humans deck with, a guy we'll talk about later when we get to black, and then Blood Artist and Cartel Aristocrats and stuff. So to stay on the human theme, like, that could be a thing that I want to bring in for, like, a really aggressive matchup, or even against just to shut off Obsidat or something like that, just because the legend rule changes.
What about like just in humans? I mean, is that not, is a two, like, is a bear that also makes, you know, half of the decks in the field cry a little bit because all their creatures come into control play tapped that can still trade with most of them? Is that not good enough?
I think it's fine. Like, it also, it's really good in modern too. Shuts off our Deceiver XR combos.
Yeah, like, I actually thought this card was pretty good because I just imagine, like, the Nyak humans or Blitz or whatever you want to call it, those mirrors. Like, there's so many haste creatures that I imagine just being a turn up in effect on your opponent with a card like this that, you know, in a pinch is still going to trade off with one of their, you know, X2s seemed pretty good to me.
Yeah, I definitely like it. It's fringe playable, but it's definitely something that I would be looking to play if I was in those colors and looking for that effect, which I think says a lot about the card.
$5, guys.
It's $3 on cool stuff.
Oh, really? Because it's $5 all over eBay.
Oh.
Well, that probably tells you something.
Yeah, it tells you you should buy it on cool stuff for $3 or don't buy it like I'm not going to.
I give it a B.
I
think
it's $3.
This is a more fringe playable rest in peace, and that's only $3 still. So
I think it's the opposite way, because I think this effect is more valuable in a deck that I think the effect is more valuable in a deck that wants a 2-1 than it is in a deck that wants an enchantment.
Either way, what I'm saying is this will
Star City has them in stock at $3, by the way. It's not just cool stuff.
Have them at what?
Has them in stock at $3.
Yeah. I'm still at $3. I don't want to buy these. Like, I guess if you're a player and you may need them in the first week or two, sure. Buy them at $3 now. But
so I'm a B on this, because I actually will be trading for these at $3.
Yeah, I think it is a strong card. It's very powerful. I mean, it's on a stick, so
I think a one toughness creature is easier to remove than an enchantment.
To me, it's like less about the fact that it can be removed than the fact that like it still beats down.
It's a threat. It doesn't matter, you know. Yeah, it doesn't matter that it's not an enchantment, that you could get rid of the enchantment. This is going to beat your face in while it's going to make you harder so that you can't block. And it's going to make all your creatures, I mean, your back a turn. You're going to be on your back pedal the whole time.
There's a reason Dark Confidant is better than the enchantment.
All right, so I'll give it a B. What about you guys? You say a C?
I give it a C, yeah.
C- / D+. That way, if it's good, I can pretend I gave it a C, and if it's bad, I can pretend I gave it a D.
All right,
next card. Path of Bravery. I like this card more than I should.
Read it
twice for an enchantment. At the beginning, or as long as your life total is greater than or equal to your starting life total, creatures you control get +1/+1. And whenever one or more creatures you control attacks, you gain life equal to the number of attacking creatures.
Was this selling it?
$2 on eBay.
Like, I don't like buying it at $2, but I absolutely like trading for it at $2. I think anything you can do to give yourself the edge in these possible, like, Aristocrats mirror matches that seem to be all over the place.
I would not play this in Aristocrats.
You don't think so? In a sideboard?
Not at all.
This has EDH written all over it, which is why it says starting life total and not 20.
We're talking
I just like it when my lingering soul tokens are 2/2s and gaining me 4 life when I'm attacking.
Unless, you know, they won the dice roll and attack you first. And
yeah, then, but you know, still get the life every time you attack. It doesn't matter if you have more life or not.
If you're playing Path of Bravery, that means your creature count's lower than mine, and that means that I'm going to be able to do more than you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's $1.50 on cool stuff.
I like when Ray's here, because when Ryan says something stupid, Ray can say something intelligent and shut him up.
It's $1.50 on cool stuff. I give it, like, a C. I give this a D. Like, this is near bulk to me.
Nah, I give it a C, because it's going to definitely be casual appeal, and there's people that are going to play this.
Yeah, at $1.50, I still want to pick it up and trade.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not going to see any competitive play, still fine.
All right, Jason?
Like, the only thing I could see is, like, casual and EDH, and, like, I don't think that's going to move up the price on a core set, because that's the people who buy core set boosters, mostly. I think, like, it's probably going to stay at about $1.50, and if I don't think the price is going to go up, I can't give it better than a D, can I?
No. Okay, so next one is Bone Scythe Sliver. The 4-cost white sliver, the rare, just 1 white, 3 colorless, 2/2. Sliver creatures you control have double strike. Super powerful effect.
Yeah, but what's the free sale? That's the big question.
$1.50, and it's the promo foil.
Oh.
It's out of stock at $2 on cool stuff. Out of stock at $5 on the promo.
It's gonna go down. I think it's a D, cause, I mean, Slivers are just going to be casual appeal and people that want to pimp out their sliver decks that they had before.
$2. Okay, now, here's my thing on them as, like, when I wrote my set review, I just grouped all the slivers together and said they're like allies in that, yes, they're going to have casual appeal. If, a sliver deck breaks out in standard and is even somewhat playable, you're going to have FNM players, like, around the world flocking to it, in which case all these $2, $3 sliver cards probably go to $5. You know, but that's really it. So, I mean, that's pretty much how I feel on all of them. This is definitely a powerful one.
Yes, I completely agree with you. I think, that sounds exactly where I feel about it. I don't think slivers are competitive, so I don't think they'll ever do anything, but the casual appeal will be there.
I think you want to pick up all the foils you can, because people are going to want them for their, you know, EDH sliver decks and stuff like that. Like, there's a ton of people around Sliver Queens or General that are going to want to pimp it out right off the bat. So if you can get foils in that pre-release weekend, I think you can sell those pretty quick. But that's your major opportunity with these slivers, I feel.
I mean, people, like I said, if it's even slightly playable, people are going to be all over it because it's slivers, and that could cause them to spike. I mean, so it's like, you know, I'm not going in on these right. So I guess to me it's a C, because I'm fine having them, but I'm not actively trying to pick them up yet.
Sure.
B-C+, it's a sliver. I really think that the slivers are going to go up from the pre-sale prices. I think everyone that is like a spike is underestimating how much the casuals are going to like slivers. I really think the slivers could go up.
I mean, this particular sliver is super powerful, right? I mean, played on turn 4, everything
you've very
played on
good.
Turn 3 is double strike.
It's a better Silverblade Paladin, and that card got played. Like, it's 4 mana instead of 3, but like, it makes all your dudes Silverblade.
Yeah, this is a good card. This is probably one of the better slivers.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's very powerful.
The red one also, that one's pretty nice. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all a matter of like, I mean, cause obviously topping out on this and topping out on the red one is super good if you're this deck, right? So the question is, are there the low cost slivers in standard to give you, you know, a reliable enough curve to make that happen?
The better question is there low enough ones across few enough colors to make it competitive? I think you have them all. It's just, the problem is you don't really want to have to play the gem height sliver. Which you're probably going to have to if you want to make this competitive and make it you able to hit all your, you know, colors. And I think running that card ruins your deck.
Now, I think you get to modern, things could be different because you have some more to fill in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where it's at. All right, so the next card we got is Seraph of the Sword. This is 3 colorless and 1 white for 3-3 Flying Angel. It also has prevent all combat damage that will be dealt to Seraph of the Sword. So, I mean, this is okay. I mean, it's for limited, I would love this card. Like, this is definitely a nice one. But I don't think Constructed is good. I mean, 3-3 for 4 is just not going to get you there.
It's a dollar pre-order.
Yeah. I say it's a D.
D. Yeah,
it's a D.
C minus because it's an angel. How about that?
Yeah, I'll just give it a straight C. I'm not going to trade for him, but I have no problem having him. I think you'll get people who will overvalue them.
A C means you will trade for him, right?
Right. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's just like you're okay having him. You're not trying to trade him away, but you're not actually trying to pick him up.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
Okay.
So the next three here, I guess I'm going to attempt to move through them quickly and just shout at me if you guys feel strongly about these. Silence, Planar Cleansing, Indestructibility.
E.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to a real card then.
Bulk before they got reprinted, bulk before it got reprinted, bulk before it got reprinted. Right?
So let's move on.
Sideboard play, but...
Same thing with Planar Cleansing. It was a thing at the Pro Tour, but those days have moved on.
Yeah, the only reason I think Silence to see any play at all is if you have like the Blue-White decks or the Esper decks, the best way to beat Red-Green is to keep them off their 2-drop, because you can race them if they don't go nuts like Burning Tree, Mayor. Shit like that, so just being able to like silence them on 2 seems like a great way to win that matchup.
I'd rather just counter their Burning Tree with Sacred Fate.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're on the play. This is a way to keep them off the on 2.
Miracle Turn.
Miracle Turn, shit. Alright, anyway, continue.
Alright, last rare and white, it's a real card, I think, at least potentially. Fiendslayer Paladin, it's 2 white and a colorless. It's a 2/2. First Strike Lifelink. And it cannot be the target of black or red spells your opponent's control. It does not have protection, but it does have, it can't be the target. What do you guys think? Ray, is this card good?
I think that the difference between protection and the ability it has right now is huge. Me personally, it's good. It's going to see play somewhere. I'm just not sure where, because the main draw to the other one was that it was protected, so you could play it, it couldn't Doomblade it, you can block their zombies or whatever have you in whatever matchup. But now, like, you have to hope that they're a 2-power guy, or that you can pump up your Paladin just so you can get value out of it. So it's definitely going to see play, I just don't know how good it is in the current format, or where it would want to be.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously First Strike and Lifelink are super powerful against the decks you want it against, even if, you know, it can die in combat. And if you look at the metagame in San Antonio, I think it was, when Black Red was all over the tournament, this card could have been big then. So it's a $5 pre-order, and like I compare it to kind of like Faith Rock's Faithmender, where it's, you know, the kind of the sideboard that may fill a hole in the metagame when it needs it, and Faithmender topped out about $5. So like I call this a D right now, like, because at $5 I'd rather get rid of it until it goes a little lower, and then at, you know, $3 I'm picking them up.
It's 4 on eBay.
Yeah, I would rather, like, I call this need, get rid of it now. I don't think it's going to be as good thing because it doesn't have protection.
Right.
Like, I think that's huge.
How often do you block with a First Strike Lifelinker outside the first turn you play it? Like, I think you just go to town with this guy. There's equipment in the set. There's Brave the Elements in the set.
You can't have any go to town if they have any creatures because, like, an Olivia gets to block this still.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Right. Close rotation then. Like, is there anything in Paladin? RGD and...
There's going to be things that can block this. Like, that's the problem.
So, like, if the Spike Jester deck, is that the 3-1 haste guy? Like, if that is a deck, right, where it's just all these, you know, X1, X2s, X1s, whatever, high-power things that are just trying to aggro you out, that's where you want the card, because it's going to block all day long against, like, a 3-1 haster, you know?
But that's the sideboard card, maybe. I mean, I don't see a situation where you want to main deck this guy pretty much.
Right, and that's why I compared it to Faithmender, because Faithmender hit $5 just being a sideboard card. So I think that's the ceiling. So at a $5 pre-order, I'm getting rid of him.
But Faithmender was really good against every aggro deck. I feel like you absolutely want to, like, snap, get rid of these. I think it's going to be $2.
Yeah, if it had protection, that's the huge thing.
Yeah, if it had protection, I feel like it'd be more.
Yeah, Paladin Anvek, and Anvek was good, but then there's times that you realize that it was limited, even with the protection, so, I mean, this is not as good.
If it was still in the format, then I would love this card, because the sword on that is insane, because now if they block, then it doesn't matter, because swords give you protection, plus it's protected already by itself from spells, but
Yeah. Okay, does anyone have any uncommons they want to talk about?
Let's look.
No, I think the only one on here that was ever a pick was Brave the Elements.
And yeah, it's probably less than a pick.
Yeah,
the slivers will probably be picks, hold on to them forever, and then they'll be worth 5 cents, whatever.
I mean, some of these are going to be good and limited.
Yeah, Priest, I mean, you can play Priest.
Banisher
in the...
Priest actually seems pretty good.
Yeah,
you can target stuff with that. Because you can't target your own guy. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you could target your own guy, that'd be way better, because there's so many crazy things you can do with Fiend Hunter, where you Fiend Hunter your own Thrag Test for Wrath Proof, or Fiend Hunter your own Angel Serenity, or like this, but the fact that you can't target your own guys, like, it's gonna be fringe playable again.
Okay.
But when Fiend Hunter's gone, I think that this will maybe take some of the same role.
Maybe.
Right, but it won't be like main deck, it'll be like in the sideboard of the decks.
I could agree with
Fiend
that.
Hunter's main deck jump rights.
Yeah, okay. Let's move to blue then.
Okay.
Alright.
Into blue, we've got we're gonna hit my favorite card.
Chase Memory Adept.
This isn't it.
Emo Chase.
Get there.
This is gonna be, I say a D, it's now the third printing of this card, right? So now it's just gonna go lower and lower. I think that control decks are now going to be neutered because we're moving into a new format. It's going to be more aggro decks are going to be taken over. So Chase's role is already pretty much just a one of, or maybe a two of, in an Esper deck.
It's a architect seven.
And especially without Drown Yard, like, you're not going to be able to finish off. So I think, he's going to
750 pre-order. I say D, because like it'll probably go to five. And then you can pick him up for like long term value.
Yeah, D sounds right. I don't think it's gonna crash. He's still good.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah, D seems agreed.
Okay.
Heard? Windreader Sphinx.
Okay.
5BBB 3/7. Whenever a creature flying attacks, you may draw a card. Has flying itself. I mean, I'm pretty sure we all agree that this is pretty bulky.
Yeah.
It'll be the only thing for EDH. It'll be like one of those $1 to $2 that's not even worth talking about.
The only question is whether it's Windreader or Win Dreader.
Oh my god.
Hey, I've got a lot. Moving on.
If you play this card, you're gonna dread not Winnie.
There you go. Thank you, Mike. Alright, Mervin, shut up so we can move on to your favorite card in this whole set.
Yeah, it's a Mervin.
I'll let you introduce it. Go ahead.
It's a Tidebinder Mage. It's a 2/2 for 2. 2 blue. It's a Merfolk. When it enters the battlefield, tap target red or green creature an opponent controls. That creature does not untap for as long as you control Tidebinder Mage. And it's awesome.
I mean,
was awesome. I excited enough? I like that. That was good.
Pre-sale, probably still too much.
I mean, maybe. It's actually, I think, it's a 150 pre-order, and I call it an what? A.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that seems really good. I'm okay, like, I don't think I want to quite buy those retail, but I'm okay picking those up at a buck at the very least. Yeah,
Ray, tell us how good this card is.
I actually like the card. If there is a blue tempo deck, this card just is very good at just, like, shutting down a Flint Hoof Bull or a Hell Rider or whatever have you, and then just like trading and continuing land. I actually think it's sweet. I don't know if it's like our main deck bull yet. Like, a lot of these cards in this whole core set are just like help you out in the sideboard. I haven't really seen too many that are like, oh man, I really want to play that main deck, but I definitely think our mage is one of the ones that could definitely break out, and I would definitely be looking myself ways to use them because I love blue.
I think it's awesome. I think we talked a little last week about how it solves some of the issues that the deck in Modern had. So, like, I think it helps it in Modern. Like, I think it's gotta be a good pickup at $150 because it's gonna be played in Modern Merfolk. It's probably gonna be sideboarded in Legacy Merfolk. I mean, Korra Home Commander's kind of in the same position where it sees some play, but in some decks it's not in there at all. And it's like $3. So, and I think at $150 you pick them up. Plus, it actually does have, like I said, it does have applications in Standard.
Tap down a Thrag Test, tap down a Spider.
Well, I think it's like against the Nia Blitz decks, you know, like you tap down their
Reckoner,
you know, whatever their
flint, the Spider, the Reckoner.
Yeah. And then
tap
you tap
down their Hellkite Dragon.
Yeah.
Slows tap down the Hell Rider, even though Hell Rider still triggers, but I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
You could
there.
Restoration Angel this mid combat to shut them
down. Oh, holy shit, Ray. Ray just broke the floor. He just broke magic. God, this guy would be good if he wasn't a merfolk, wouldn't he? This guy's a non-merfolk would be good. How dumb is it that it's a merfolk and it, like, does what you want?
Yeah.
We talked about this last week.
Gavin
it's
heard
like
him.
A at $150.
Alright,
somebody inside our
at this point, we're just, you know, tuning Corbin's horn because it's a merfolk. So, Elite Arcanist, Bulk, right? Anyone else? Jason's Mindseeker, would just like to mention that this has the best creature type so far.
Disillusion.
I love Jace's Mindseeker in EDH with Deadeye Navigator.
If Aetherling wasn't in Standard, I would like this card in Standard, potentially.
Yeah, no. Aetherling just rates, this card's not good, but Aetherling just rates every finisher.
So if anyone's curious about what they're talking about, it's a 6 mana, 4/4 flyer. When it enters the battlefield, target opponent mills 5, and you may cast an instant sorcery for free.
So you just so whiff. Whatever. Yeah, you whiff against Nia Blitz on a 6 drop that doesn't do anything to help you stabilize the board.
Alright, let's talk about a real card then. next. Gale Rider Sliver.
Wait, one cost Jace's one. Mindseeker isn't a real card?
No.
No.
Gale Rider Sliver is a 1-1 for blue that gives sliver creatures you control flying. That seems powerful.
Yeah, if you got a sliver deck, but it's blue, no, that's the only problem.
It seems like to me if there's going to be a sliver deck that's remotely competitive and standard, it has to include this card because this is how you get out way ahead. It's a $3 pre-order out of stock. Good, cool stuff.
Yeah, it's $4 on eBay. Winged Sliver was a pick at Common being reprinted.
So it's $3.
I still say, yeah. This
I don't know. I don't think the price is going to move much from three, though.
I don't think it will either. Yeah, unless, probably. Like I said, they get played and it's $5.
I don't care how good it is. Like, maybe the foils could spike, but the non-foils, I just don't know.
Yeah.
I think that ceiling of most of them is $5-6.
So everyone's like, agree on like a C.
Oh, that sucks. C. Like, it's the only card in blue that I'm excited about besides the Mindseeker, and like, we just don't even care. The price doesn't even, like, oh, it's too high at $1.50.
Alright,
Next we have, Colossal Fail.
It's not actually Colossal Fail, it's Colossal Whale, but that rhymes.
It does. Yeah. It rhymes, and it's also a good description of what M14 was.
I don't care what price it is, it's an E.
Yeah.
It's true. All, you know what? The art is cool, and it's a cool creature type, right? Also, it's terrible.
I'm gonna thank whoever buys these from me in bulk. That's how much of an E this is.
Next card, Clone. Same thing.
E. Everything's bulk from this point on, right? Traumatized.
No, that's not true.
Traumatized is somewhat, but it's been reprinted so many times.
Yeah, Traumatized.
Domestication was an uncommon before. Good luck that getting to go above bulk. Quicken. Poop now. And Dismissing a Dream looks bad. So, all these rares from now on are just bulk.
Traumatized is a pick. Like, it's like $1.50 or two most places, so.
On the buy list or retail?
Retail, it's like two. So you get a buck out of it. Like, it's not bulk.
Okay, so pick it up for bulk and then, like, get that 50 cents on the buy list.
I do want to build around Dismiss into Dream. Like, if you get a deck that can around that, that says, oh, insane.
Ryan's the guy that's going to build around Dismiss into Dream.
There's
a guy that advocated Seance.
That got me excited. Feud.
A Johnny Caller of the Pride.
There'd be some illusions in the set, but
You could use a Johnny to bounce creatures with this. Oh, you got something, Corbin.
It doesn't bounce them, it kills them.
All right, let's talk about
that. Oh, there we go. We got blue-white control with a Johnny and Dimension of the Dreams.
Stop it.
I'm doing it. I'm making that deck.
Dark Realms.
It is $9 pre-order.
What? Why is this more expensive than a Johnny?
No, it's $7 pre-order. Sorry, that was the old one. $7 pre-order and cool stuff, Liliana.
Wow, that's not much less than it was like on eBay before the reprint. Like, I think this is going to go down. It's just got to.
It has to. I was surprised Liliana was as high as it was for so long, and that's
When it was $9, that was insane.
Yeah, because it was just there were so few. It was from a core set. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, every time a core set gets reprinted, the Planeswalkers just crash. If they're not like super valuable, so it's going to be almost seven, like territory.
$7 headed down. It's a D, F, E.
I would almost say E, yeah, F, I mean, just.
And I'd say a D, just cause like, having Planeswalkers in your binder is always fine.
Alright, the next one we got is Shadowborn Demon. This is, colorless and two black.
I guess pre-sale on this guy.
This card is going to tell us what influence the casual community has on Magic. This is the best barometer for casual appeal that I can think of, because this is 100% going to be fueled by people like, oh, holy shit, I can get you a Shadowborn Demon and all the apostles and seriously make a deck.
Well, it's a $9 pre-order, Jason.
$9? Okay, never mind.
Good lord. So this card...
I think you dumped them, but is this card potentially playable?
Ray, is this card good?
If you have a way to manipulate the graveyard so that you can guarantee you won't take a hit from it, then I think so. But the fact that it doesn't protect itself...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, if it said, like, other creature or something, then, yeah, I would play this, obviously, because it doesn't matter about the drawback. You could just, like, jam it in mono black control and have it be your finisher, but the fact that it has to kill itself is kind of rough, but,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so.
It doesn't kill itself. It says target non-demon.
That's the interest play. At the beginning of your upkeep, if there are fewer than six, you have to sacrifice a creature.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's an expensive Necrotal, right? The worst case scenario.
You'd rather play Desecrated.
I mean, it's not that expensive. There's one more and you get a huge body.
Yeah, the 5-6 flying is a lot better than a 2-1 first strike.
I'd rather have a 6-6 Desecration Demon for four.
Yeah, I think you want it, like, Desecration Demon. I think when, Lingered Souls is gone, Desecration Demon actually gets a lot better.
I mean, Desecration
Demon. That guy's insane.
I don't know, like, the reason I think maybe it's not a great comparison, just because, you know, this one actually, you actually get to kill what you want, whereas Desecration Demon doesn't let you do that.
Okay, yeah, so play Shadowborn Demon then.
Demon.
Pay $9, pay $36 for the playset, and then you can kill all the stuff you want. Except you won't.
I wouldn't suggest that.
I'm not excited about it at $9 at all, but if it ever drops to like $2, I'm excited about picking them up.
That art's pretty sweet though.
Next, Rise of the Dark Realms. Put all creatures from graveyards in the battlefield under your control.
It's a $350 pre-order.
What's the foil pre-order? That's all.
Foil, yeah, the foils are the ones.
It's a $12 pre-order, which I think is too much.
I think that's right. I think that's going to hold not 12, 10 plus.
Yeah. 12. I think it'll hold, I just don't think I want to go pick them up.
I think it'll end up like 8 or 10 and then maybe go up. Like, it's obviously a sweet, you know, EDH card, all of this stuff. Foil's a good bet, but I do think it'll come down before it goes up.
Sure. Alright, so, Liliana's Reaver. 4 mana, 4/3. Death Touch, whenever it deals combat damage to a player, that player discards a card and you put a 2/2 black zombie creature token on the battlefield tap. So does not leave you a blocker.
Thumbs down.
Is this card worth anything?
Raise, good.
Yeah, like we really need raise help here.
Yeah, no, it's no, 100% thumbs down on that one.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
It's that easy?
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems kind of like a really generic 4/3, and yeah. I don't want to pay
for it. It's a better card evaluation than I thought, because, I don't know,
it's just underwhelming and constructive.
Well, I spent a lot of time in the finance subreddit, and a lot of people in there are like, I don't know, this could be a card, so I'm like, maybe this could be a card, because... No.
It trades with so
many. That many people can't be wrong.
They're in the finance subreddit. They're not in the player subreddit.
It trades with like 2 drops.
The player subreddit is actually like worse than Nazi Germany.
Wow. I've heard very bad things about that.
Yeah, like if you gave Nazi Germans cards, they'd be like, I can't even read the English.
Alright.
They wouldn't know. It's 1942. They don't know about magic yet.
So before we get the rest of people to shut off the podcast, let's move on to the card that we can actually talk about, finally. Few and far between in the set. Dark Prophecy.
Triple black card.
Whenever a creature dies, you draw a card and lose 1 life. I don't know what the pre-order is, but I like this card for a sideboard option in, like, again, the Aristocrats mirror. This is probably better than the white one.
I think
it's turn 5, turn 6, and it goes in your favor.
No. It's $3 pre-order. I think it's terrible. Raise, this card good.
$3.
I think it has potential. I don't think it's good. I definitely don't agree. Like, I would have to test it in the Junk Aristocrats, but once again, like, you're taking creature count down, and your opponents would just be more favored. But if there's a way to get an engine going where you can sacrifice creatures, and, like, you want cards, then I can definitely see that going, but... I
mean, is it even, like, castable in those decks at triple black?
Well, you'd build around it. That's the thing.
Okay.
So, like, you'd make sure it is. But, like, fitting it in a deck right now, like, I could see the potential why you'd want it in Junk Aristocrats, just because you get to draw cards, make them lose a life, you lose a life, and then you gain a life back from Blood Artist, but I don't know. I think that at that point, like, isn't Underworld Connection just better?
Yep.
I mean, I don't think so, because that's only, you know, one card. And also, that takes a mana away every turn to do it. This doesn't require any more mana.
You're talking about a deck that operates on a curve of 1 and 2 drop.
Right, but if you're drawing 2 or 3 cards a turn because you keep trading with your opponent's stuff in a mirror match, you're okay with that.
How are you, you're not going to be trading because if you've drawn 2 or 3 cards, then like, they're probably out of cards and you're not.
Exactly. But,
like, I see that unlikely to happen because I think you're going to just die. Like, you're going to play this on turn 3, they're going to make a
huge... You don't play this on turn 3. This is not, end up, the way I see those matches so often is, you end up with a board cluttered with a bunch of creatures, no one can attack. Because all of a sudden the swing back just wrecks them. And you play this out and it makes your attacks a lot more profitable because suddenly you can attack with a couple of guys, whether they block or not, you get to draw cards for each one of those and reload your board with more Blood Artists, more things like Gavinny Township, stuff like that.
Yeah, Township does break that match wide open, I think.
Or if you got Lingering Souls looks nice with this.
Yeah.
Either way, I think there's things to do to get an edge in that matchup that don't involve playing a triple black enchantment.
Yeah, but still not $3. I think this is a D.
Yeah, I don't agree with picking it up, but I think the card's gonna see play.
There's something, there's some possibility for it, yeah.
Bulk Nightmare?
Bulk Nightmare, all the way.
Yep.
I don't know, is this one better for drawing a penis on it than other nightmares?
it absolutely is. Have you looked at the picture? I just looked at it this time.
We've all seen the picture, thanks.
And you all heard, hung like a horse, so.
God. I tried to keep us on track. It's too late. I tried to move right on past it. Nope.
Yeah. All right. Light faint zombie. Let's go. One black, 3-1 intimidate, zombie warrior. Whenever it enters the battlefield, target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a green or white creature card from it and exile that card.
I think this is sweet.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite cards in the set.
The shit out of this card.
I agree. This and Angel are BFFs.
It's a $4 pre-order.
I think that's right. I think it's a B.
I'm actually a B on that one. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, Boros Reckon or anything like that, but I could easily see this card hitting $10 because he's playing the first week or two.
I think people are more willing to play this card than other cards just because of the colors. And it gets to exile it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You play this against Junk Rites and you take their Angel Serenity or their Thrag Test. Like, that's a big game. That's like Appetite for Brains on a Stick. That's really good.
Yeah, and the body's not just like a 2-1 like Sin Collector. Yeah. Like, this is main deckable because you have a 3-1 Intimidate at worst.
Yeah, Intimidate. Right. It's insane.
I think this card's probably gonna settle at like 5-7. So like, I give it a B. I'm fine with picking these up at 4.
Yeah, I don't want to buy them at 4, but I'm absolutely in there or trading for them. Or, you know, if you can get them for 2 or 3 at the pre-release, sure.
Sure.
This is one of the cards that I'd pick up as a player. I definitely would want a set of these just in my arsenal.
Oh yeah, because
it's something that's going down below 3 or 4.
Okay. Next card, Bog Brew Witch. Anyone care to? Okay. it's cool design.
I like it a lot.
So
yeah, but like good flavor has never really translated into.
I mean, I still don't want it, even at a buck.
It's I'll good first for the pick game. It in a draft.
It's good for the game.
It's good for the game.
I will first pick this in a draft, definitely.
So Grim Return. Let's move on past that. Let's get past that. All right, Grim Return. It costs 2 colorless and a black for an instant. Choose target creature in the graveyard. Put it in the battlefield this turn. Put that card in the battlefield under your control. I think there's potential. Where's it at? I think it's what, like $1.
You gotta keep this. You gotta keep the mana and this card up, like at all times. If you don't have the mechanism for choosing when the creature dies,
you just beat down. If you got a beat down deck, there's not too many black beat down decks.
Bad. Yeah, but like they could have already been playing Undying Evil that like gave your creature undying, which is basically the same thing that was like cheaper than this and still wasn't played. So
that's fair. Yeah, it's probably bald.
That's a cool picture. I love pictures.
next Rick one is
likes the spoilers. Like he likes coloring books.
That's right. I play cards specifically for the art. Like that's a real thing.
And the art is pretty
everyone
great.
Everyone who busts you with that PTQ just like palm slap their forehead.
No,
I like the pretty pictures. That's why I play Esper Control.
Let's move on to the next card, which Ray really likes, and now you'll never lie to. Ray, you can introduce this one.
This is Xanthrid Necromancer. He's a human wizard, black, for 2 and a black, 2/2. Whenever the Necromancer or another human creature you control dies, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield tap. This guy is my pick of the set. This guy is insane. I'm trying to build everything. I know a lot of people are very, very interested in building this deck or building cards around it. It's going to go into Junk Aristocrats. I built a black-white deck around it today, and it was insane. It dies to a Terminus, but they all die to a Terminus deck. So, but this card is very, very sick. I definitely want a set ASAP of this guy.
I didn't think he was a human. I thought he was a zombie. Just looking at
the
card.
Yeah, he's a human.
This he card makes the zombies.
It combos with like, it comes with that entire deck, so.
I mean, he's like replaces himself, and it's very good.
The black-white deck also has like, we play like Loyal Cathar, this guy, Blood Artist, Cartel. It's like just strictly just black-white aristocrats, and you play Sorin's over Garrickson. Like, there was a game where I was playing against Ryan earlier where he was at 19 and I killed him in one turn with this guy in play. Like, I just played two Blood Artists, sacrificed everything, made a demon, sacrificed it, sacrificed the zombies, and, like, it is very, 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 very high on my radar. Like,
do you play him with Gnawing Zombie?
You can play Bloodthrone Vampire as another sac outlet.
Oh, I love Gnawing Zombie as a sac outlet. Like, I wish he could do it for free, but I think he would actually just be way too good.
Nice. But no, I definitely say the Star City Invitational and the 5K in Lansing, I definitely expect these guys to be making waves.
Okay, 350 pre-order. How many should we buy? You say X?
I don't know how much it'll be, but I know players will want it.
So, I mean, it's like got to at least go to 5, right? So it's definitely a B. You trade for him at least.
Yeah.
Could it go to 7, right?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah,
is this be this set's Thrag Tusk? I don't think so.
It's not that high end. It's powerful, but it's not that. It's not going to just break the format.
Not that splashful.
So it's going to be really good, and the deck's built around it, but it's not going to be in more than one deck. Is that what you guys are saying?
I think it'll be in two or three decks, but it won't be in like Boros Reckoner where the field is building around it, or like Dragon Tusk where the field like completely consumes it and splashes for it.
So yeah, what do we have to compare it to? What card?
Voice of Resurgence, like Mythic. Like Gravecrawler and those kind of cards.
Gravecrawler went to 10.
Gravecrawler did go to 10.
I think it could hit 10 potentially, but I don't see it being like Drag Dusk where it hits 15.
I think a Varrels is a good comparison. Like, I mean, it's good in one deck.
Right.
And yeah. It's the same deck, so. Yeah. I mean, and Varrels is not very expensive right now. Like.
No, the difference is Varrels is an affordable in the deck, and this is,
is legendary.
Yeah, but new legendary rules, it might go.
Like, this actually benefits from multiples out.
I mean, the other knock against this is that Aristocrats is, it's dead after rotation, right? And so, like, this is, it's only going to be in the format when that's a deck for, like, a couple months.
Right, but that's what we're talking about currently, and the PTQ season is going to be enough to shape that. So if it's going to see play...
It's PTQ season right now, and heavily played standard cards are already dropping, so I don't think that's a very good argument.
Why is Aristocrats not going to be a deck?
It's not a deck after rotation. Is that true, or am I incorrect?
This will help enable it, if anything.
There is a junk color deck in black that plays Smiters, Valraz, Cartel Aristocrat, Voice Resurgence. So I'm not sure about the actual creature count in it, but I know I played against it in Modo, and we play tested it for the Pro Tour. So there'll be a style of deck that might be like that. Card probably fits in that. Because obviously, I just don't know how many humans are going to be valid. That's the thing. Like right now, we have a lot of humans that are good.
That was my point. Like I've been told from people that like once like Doom Traveler and such are gone, that like Aristocrats is pretty new after rotation. Which is why like if this card's only good, if it's good in that deck, maybe it'll go up a few bucks. But I don't think it's going to hit 10 if it's only going to be good for 2 months.
Yeah.
Because people like. I mean, cards that are really good in standard right now are tanking because people are already looking at rotation. So I don't think you add a card in for 2 months and people all of a sudden aren't going to be thinking about it. And I don't think you can say PTQ season is going to change that. So like, I think it's a B. I'll trade for him. I think it'll spike, but I don't think it's going to, you know, hold a big price.
Yeah. I'm same way. I'm pretty sure B's right in there.
Okay. So, next one almost through black here, Siphon Sliver. 3-cost, 2/2 sliver that gives all your slivers lifelink.
This is the wrong color for this.
Yeah.
Not only that, but it's the same thing as the other ones. Even if it sees play, it's not going up enough. Like, it's probably a C. It's probably $1, $1.50. I'm fine trading for him because I'll appeal to hero him for more. It's one of those things, like, the casual players will overvalue it. You can get, you know, like a lifebane zombie and trade for it or something when it first comes out.
Yeah. It's a $2 pre-order.
Yeah, it's a C.
Yeah, like...
This will go below $2, like, almost no matter what. It would have to get played a lot.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's a sliver, so, like...
It's not the greatest color. Like, no, historically, not. Red is probably the worst color for slivers, and black is the second worst.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Blue-green-white slivers just dominate, so...
Let's move on to the next card.
Sanguine Bond.
Before we talk about how much we think it will be... Let's play What's It Worth with Sanguine Bond for everyone to help.
Oh my god, you're the worst person.
Are we playing What's It Worth a week ago or What's It Worth today?
Let's say a week. I don't know. What's the answer to both? I mean, I think this may be a surprise to a lot of people.
You can't just
why don't you just tell people that.
Game of What's It Worth.
Yeah, just tell people what it is. We don't want to spend all this time talking
it's
about
it. $7 right now.
It is a $5. What's It Worth,
Jason? What?
It's not even right.
Oh, I thought you went and looked it up. Sorry.
It's a $5 pre-order.
I thought you just went and looked it up.
The old one is $10. The old one a week ago was like $12 or $13.
The old one's not $10. It's $7. I looked this up today.
I'm looking at cool stuff literally right now.
God, I'm not getting in on this. You guys hash this out. I'm going to say
I mean, I just something to hash out. I'm looking at the webpage that I just loaded.
Sell.
Whoa.
Hey, that's what it is. That's what it is on Cool Stuff. That's the only price that exists.
E. No, that's not. We've been using Cool Stuff all night, and now you're going to pull that. Come on.
E, move on. E, move on.
E, and move on.
E.
Alright.
Maybe it'll come up, guys. I don't know, wait a minute. Sanguine Bond and Exquisite Blood will be legal and standard at the same time for how long? How many months?
Who gives two fucks?
We already got a combo and they're
the people that made it a big deal before.
But it never went.
I'm gonna play this at FNM, Ryan. I'm coming up to Lansing. I'm gonna play this at FNM and I will destroy you.
Do you think you're gonna make it, do you think you're gonna make it spike above $7?
By destroying you at FNM?
$7
is you can't rule it out.
Right.
Okay. Alright, shut up. So the card I like is this Artificer's Hex. And I don't think this is a powerful card. I just like the, what it does. It gives blacks a way to fight, equipments. And I think it's a really great design as far as a card. But yeah, this card is going to be bald.
Yeah, it's Cyborg. So limited and bad.
It's bad, but I like what it does for black. It gives black an option for these type of cards. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, it'll probably be EDH playable. Like, it probably looks sweet foil too with a sword like that.
Yeah, it has some good art. I'd play it.
Shut up with the arts, Ray.
Is Shadowborn Apostle gonna be a pick? Like, is that something
people... In foil, maybe? I don't know. It's a common.
It's not common.
It's common.
Yeah, it has to be common.
I'm looking at its stupid Shadowborn Apostle face, and it's common.
Just like he was looking at $7 Sanguine Bonds.
Yeah, on eBay. You're in charge of cool stuff, I'm in charge of eBay.
You do need six virtual cards.
This is really good. This is good because this is going to be on the bulk tables after people.
Yeah. Well, that's a question. Should people be grabbing them? Should our listeners be rounding these up from the draft tables?
Yeah.
You should be grabbing the cards you can for free, right? I pick all the bulk on the tables. I take it home and put it five.
Some people can't carry that and they just grab the stuff worth, you know, a quarter or more.
Gen Con is such a good place for that because people will be drafting the core set and they'll be leaving the crap. Like, they won't even throw it in the trash. They'll put it on the top of the trash can.
Yep. Okay, so we decided that people should be picking this then.
Like, I was pulling Doom Blades and Mana Leaks and, like, actual stuff that was, like, you know, nickels and dimes and stuff. So, like, right. You'll find these around, and you'll probably find foils around, too. Why not?
Yep.
Speaking of Doom Blade, love me some Doom Blade back. That's good, because they need to do that for Limited. I can understand why.
It's perfect.
If this is what you got to do so that we can have Doomblade back, thank you. Please make sure it stays in
the corset. That is one of the most cards I am excited about for constructed play.
Because you like the art, Ray? Shut up.
Dude, that art is insane!
It's the best!
I had to tolerate Ray in real life for like 5 years when I lived up there, and now he's on our podcast.
Good value.
Can we move on to red now?
Man, I feel like you guys just skip right over Sanguine Bond. I don't think it's a bad pickup for $4.
Okay, what? Well, that's your opinion. Go ahead and he just stated it. We don't have to argue about it.
You're allowed to be wrong. You like B-dubs, too.
I like B-dubs.
Sanguine Bond is the B-dubs of enchantments.
It's true.
Marcel says, let's not talk about it. Cue everyone talking about it.
Hey, you guys have been like overriding me this whole cast. You've been
like
cutting me
off.
Don't
think of a pink zebra. Like, you just thought of a pink zebra.
And talking over me. Interrupting this entire fucking cast.
I think it's because everyone hates...
Are you talking, Marcel?
Everyone hates doing set reviews. I think that's what it is.
Let's get it over with. That's what I'm saying. Let's get it over with.
Yeah. Alright, here we go. Here's red. Ready?
I hate core set reviews.
D, B, C, D, E, 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 E. We're done with red!
Alright, so let's talk about Chandra. I mean, we can't actually probably do that with the rest of them, but talk about Chandra Pyromancer. Ray, what is your impression of the card?
I think this card has, I don't know. I don't want it to be like the other Planeswalkers that I read, like Tybalt and anything. Like, Tybalt I was super excited about, and turns out that card was bad. And now that I'm better at the game,
Chandra
seems like it wants to be good. I can't put it in a deck. That's the thing.
But Ray, it draws you cards, says the Devil's Advocate.
You can't put it in a red deck because it has conflicting abilities. I don't know. It's just, it has conflicting abilities. Like, the first ability wants you to tap a guy and then deal a damage to them, which is great for red because they're trying to attack you with haste guys. The second ability, gets to draw a card potentially, but you can't use it when it comes down, and then the card that you draw might be bad, it might be good, who knows, it's a red deck. A lot of things are horrible top decks late game. And then the ultimate, like, that's never gonna matter in a red deck. Like, and maybe if it was a legacy style red deck because you have so many more burn spells, but in standard you have, like, Burning Tree Emissaries and Stromkirk Nobles for now, and after rotation it gets even worse. Like, I don't know. Like, I wanted to put it in a control deck, but it doesn't fit there. I don't know where this card fits. That's the hard part, and I can't see it fitting.
We said the same thing about Gideon, and we saw how that went. So this is probably just the set's Gideon. Like, oh, yeah. This could be good. Doesn't have a home.
Yeah.
How much is it right now?
It's $18 right now.
$18?
Sounds like it's a
that's a, I would pay that for a playset.
It's an EF. It's an F. Get rid of
I'm giving this an F. F
I'll
it.
Put it a D. It's not that bad.
So I guess, like, my impression of the card's playability is that you want it in a deck where the first ability is good. So, like, after rotation, if, you know, a deck for some reason needs more 4-drops in Exava to replace Hellrider, then I think Chandra is, you know, good in that sense and that you're able to, you know, get your guys through. Like, I think you just pretty much ignore that second ability. Like, I think the first ability is the only reason the card could be good.
Hey, guys.
I think you got it completely wrong.
Rules question. Can you deal 1 damage to an opponent with no creatures?
Yes.
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 Sure. Oh, right.
That's why it's as wordy as it is.
But no, Marcel, the problem with the second ability is if you, like, you have to think about the deck it's going to go on, finding a home, right? So it's going to be a red deck, and it's going to be a red attacking deck. So, like, because if you play it on turn 4, you can't even use the second ability, or all you're going to do is play a land.
Well, if you play it on turn 4, you probably play the land this turn, so you're just exiling a land.
You're right, not going to play the second ability. Alright, come on, everyone, we know this. You can't.
That's what we're saying.
I actually fully disagree. I believe that if this card's going to see any play, it's not going to be in any form of aggro deck. There's better 4-drops in aggro. If this is going to see play, it's going to be in, like, a Grixis deck where you can utilize it with the new Planeswalker rule to kill off your opponent's Jace while you're sitting there having Jace battles. And at the same time, it can net you card advantage in the late game if you needed to.
A tap out
control deck could utilize this better than anyone. I don't think it's main deckable at all. I think it would only be for those control mirror matches. I think it's probably going to hold $7 to $10.
And Chandra is what you want in your control mirror match to beat their Jace. Is a Chandra to pick
yes,
for one?
Actually, yes, because I got the Grixis deck. I did the not Master Quality deck.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Let's let Marcel talk.
It's a decent Grixis deck, and Patrick Chapin actually did something similar. There's some discrepancies as far as which cards, and Master Cruelty is definitely not in his deck. But, I mean, I got 3-4 Jaces in there because of the card draw, and I could see this as not necessarily a card draw, but you can utilize whatever card you pull off the top. And you can use this every turn. Whereas Jace, you go -2, and then you have to build them back up before you go your -2 again. With this, you can pop it every turn. If you can protect it, you can really, like, overwhelm someone with
which
card
Jace
advantage.
Are you talking about?
The difference is that, like, Jace actually gives you card advantage the turn it comes down. Chandra doesn't.
Yeah.
Also, Jace has an ability to actually somewhat protect itself. Chandra doesn't.
Yeah, I'd play a 2 of a Chandra. I would consider it more of like a 5-drop Planeswalker for some reason. Just, it seems more later. Like, you don't want to drop to some 4 because it's not going to really help you, but later on in the game, when you drop it, it could be insane. And
okay, guys, the $35 question. Is this going to be another Architect of Thought that spikes to $50 in the short term, which makes your $15 pre-order seem great?
No.
And you know what? Architect of Thought was the $30 pre-order. If you'll remember, it was a $30 pre-order.
Sure.
It is good, but it's, like Marcel said, it's a 2 of, and it's probably a sideboard card. It's not very good versus aggro. It doesn't do anything you want it to do.
See, I'm not a fan of playing a Planeswalker where I can't utilize its ultimate. Like, that's the whole point. I want to play a Planeswalker sometimes. Like, the rest of the abilities are good, but if I'm not building up to something that's very good, then I don't like... I've killed people with Architect of Thought.
His ultimate is very good, Ray.
But the thing is, like, if this isn't a control deck, like, if I exile, what is it, the top 10 cards in my library, you got to think that half of those cards are either going to be kill spells or counter spells. Like, I don't want to play those. And if I do, like, if I'm doing my job as a control deck... the battlefield isn't going to have that many creatures on it in order for me to ultimate this. And so if I reveal, let's say for Grixis, for instance, we have, like, Doomblade, something else. It's like, great, what am I going to do? Like, I just ultimated my Planeswalker to kill your one last creature I could have killed with the removal I have anyways.
Right, but you're not going to run any card draw effect?
I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, the card draw I would play would be, like, Opportunity, which would just draw me into more stuff, which is good.
Or hit your Sphinx's Revelation if you're, like, 4-color and do nothing.
Yeah, you can't. Because X is 0.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, in your
run, like, Opportunity.
That's the thing. I don't know. Like, I'm not a fan of the ultimate. Like, if there's...
Yeah.
Like, maybe if I have, like, Enter the Infinite type of combo deck, then that'd be sweet, because then obviously that's, like, a really good way to try and find that. But... Great, Ryan. But, I don't know.
So this is why, like, these are the reasons why, like, I don't see it ever finding a place in control deck. And I think if you play it, it has to be because that first ability is allowing you to punch through for the damage you need in the game.
Right. That plus, I don't know, like, and that's why it conflicts. It like wants to do one thing and wants to do another.
I view this as ignore the plus one to a creature, and instead plus one to a player in the control matchup, and or plus one to their planeswalker every turn.
I would just stack them in. That's way better.
Why are you playing four mana to ping them for one a turn? Play Curse of the Pierced Heart or whatever.
No, you
play Curse of the Pierced Heart.
What I'm saying is it can switch roles. You can use it to be pinging their planeswalker.
We've talked about this card so much longer than I wanted to.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Like, you're talking...
I'm not a fan of it. I would... Like, me as a player, I do not
this
want
This is a D at $15. That's my final draft.
Absolutely. All right, let's move. Scourge of Vel'Koz.
It's a Dargan.
Red, 4-4. Whenever it or another dragon enters play, it deals X damage to target creature, player X number of dragons you control, and it's fire. And it's fine. I mean, it'll be worth something. It's probably way more expensive than it should be on pre-order. Pretty sure.
Scourge of Vel'Koz costs $350 pre-order, and that's too many dollars.
That's too many for a Moonveil dragon. This will be 50 cents on the buy list. So get them for a quarter and buy list them for 50 cents. Yeah. Hey, red only got two mythics?
Yeah.
Sure.
Two of the colors only got two.
That's balls.
All right. Next one is a Mindsparker. It's a 3/2 first strike for 3, 2 red and a colorless. Whenever an opponent casts a white or blue instant or sorcery, it deals 2 damage to that player.
I like this.
I just saw this card for the first time. Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, it's part of the cycle. Every color got a cycle that hoses its two enemy colors.
Raise is good.
That makes sense.
I think this card's sweet. Like, if there's gonna be a mono red deck, this is definitely gonna play it.
I think that's true.
Mono red deck plays the new, mana barbs too.
That card, I wanna talk about that card.
Okay, well, since Mindsparker is like a $3.50 to $3 pre-order, $3.50 on it's another one of those like it's cheaper on cool stuff. So pay attention, guys, if you're cool thinking about pre-ordering on eBay, check cool stuff too.
Yeah, I think as a player, you probably want to get your playset now if you plan on playing a deck like this right off the bat. And mono red is typically good right after rotation because people are trying to play all this cute control deck, so it may spike again right then. But at the same time, it's at that price where you definitely don't really want to buy into them because I mean the best thing it could do is. You know, see a ton of play and then it goes up to like 5 or 6.
Yeah, the only cards I want to pre-order at 4 aren't pre-ordering for 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Mindsparker is quite good. It's very aggressive and it's going to really punish your blue-white, like your Esper opponents, but I don't know. Is it $4 good?
No. All right. No. Goblin Diplomats, Bulk, Chandra's Phoenix.
Reprint.
You know, this card at one point when it wasn't standard last time around hit like 7-8 bucks.
Wasn't it Lightning Bolt? When it was in standard?
Yeah.
Now we have Shock?
It was in 2012. Was Lightning Bolt in 2011?
Oh, so we had Searing Spear.
Yeah. I mean, at one point the card hit $7. It's a pre-ordering too. Like, to me, that's a C.
There's nothing for this card. Like, this card actually got worse because the stuff that's in the
course to enable it. As Ryan said, Chandra the Pyromaster triggers her Phoenix.
True.
That's
now I hate both of you.
To me, it's like a C. I don't mind having these at $2 because that's whatever. If it starts to see play mono red cheap, it goes to $4. Great. Like there's not a ton of downside at $2.
Sure. Fair enough.
All right. It's a B minus to C plus.
Sure. So Shivan Dragon Bolt.
Can we go back to the Melissa Benson art on Shivan Dragon? That was like when I started in '96. It was fourth edition.
That was my favorite card art. Rare for art.
Well, if you're gonna have a 25-cent rare in the set, at least have good art. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not a fan of that art.
Bring back the Melissa Benson art.
Yeah.
Cool.
Alright, Thorncaster Sliver, same as all the other slivers, sees even less play, worth even less.
That sucks because it's got a good ability. If it didn't cost 5 mana, I'd actually play it.
Yep.
Turns all your slivers into a Goblin Medic, seems fine.
It's pretty insane. I played it in the Duels of the Planeswalker discard as a finisher. If you got this swarm the board pretty well.
Yeah.
It could be like a 12 at the top of the curve.
Yeah, cause I mean, if you got like say four or five slivers, like you're attacking for 5 pings.
Yeah, even if he can't attack, you just play him the turn you attack with 4 other slivers.
Right,
It's a bad Hellrider.
He's a bad Hellrider, cause he doesn't have haste himself. He's got a bad power toughness to casting cost ratio. What's he pre-order this for?
It hits creatures, like that's insane.
Not Hellrider.
So what's he pre-ordering for?
B.
What did you say, Ryan? Because B rhymes with D, which is why we should use the NATO phonetic alphabet. I give this a Bravo.
Epsilon.
Charlie and Marcel give it a Delta.
Sure.
That's where we're at next time.
$1.50?
It's a B to me. I'll pick him up.
Corbin. Say Bravo and then say over.
Epsilon out.
Epsilon over. You're giving this an Epsilon? I'm giving this at least a Charlie minus Delta Plus.
So there's going to be so many of these printed that the casual players will eat them up. They'll still be worth nothing. Like, 2 years down the line, this will probably be worth picking up.
I don't want red slivers. As the only guy in America who's going to try to build legacy slivers now, I don't want red or black.
You have one man of first striking one, but...
Alright,
next card. This is a C.
Bulky.
Bulk.
Ogre Battle Driver. Wants to do it all.
Burning Battle
Driver. We skipped Ogre Battle Driver?
No, how do we feel about Battle Driver?
I like
it. Yeah, Corbin.
My bad. Is it good?
I think this card has potential in an aggressive deck.
It's a weird version of Hell Rider. If it survives
a turn... Everything is a Hell Rider to Ryan.
No,
Phoenix is like a 3-mana Hell Rider.
This is trying to play the same role, is what I'm saying. Like, this has to compete with Excava in that spot.
Hey, it's Excava. I'm with Ryan.
Excava. I don't care.
No, either Ryan. Way, Ryan stands strong. It's Excava.
Sure. Okay. Whatever.
This would be sick in a mid range shape. Just imagine this. All your creatures are coming in and doing so much work.
It's not a Hell Rider, because Hell Rider, like, a creature you summon on turn one, you get the bonus. This is the creature you summon that turn.
Oh, I want to do this, and then Lingering Souls. Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, so I think it can be more powerful if it survives a turn than Hell Rider was, but I think it's less powerful overall. But at the same time, less powerful may be good enough right now, because Hell Rider was very good.
I don't know. If you curve out with non-haste creatures, this could be nuts.
I want to hear from the guy on the Pro Tour.
I like this card. I'm not sure it all depends. I think that WotC is trying to slow down the format, and if that's the case, this card's going to be pretty good at speeding it back up in the deck's favor. I know WotC likes when creatures attack, and this guy gives you a really good reason to be attacking. I wish that it was in the same cycle as Huntmaster, because I really want to just live the dream and play this in Huntmaster, but I don't want to play Huntmaster at all in this format, so that's not going to happen right now. But yeah, I like him. He's sweet. Like, I could definitely see Mono Red being a thing with this guy, and like, Chandra's Phoenix coming down and forming them real quick.
Okay, how much is it? His pre-release price is, I'm checking eBay. Corbin, you check cool stuff. He is $250 on eBay. Great, $250. Does he have a lot of upside for a $250 card?
He does not. I would see this card doing maybe $4 from my perspective.
Like, so C plus.
This is a promo, I believe, from the Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Oh, really? Somebody gets a Scavenging Ooze and somebody gets a big Ogre Battle Driver dick in the mouth?
It's $4 out of stock pre-order on the promo. It's $150 out of stock pre-order on the regular.
That sucks so bad that this is a promo.
I mean,
I didn't buy Steam. Can I still get a Scavenging Ooze? No, here's your $1.50 card. Suck every available dick.
Okay. We're ready to move on to Burning Earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's mana barbs, costs like 3 colorless, 1 red. Whenever a player taps a non-basic land for mana, it deals 1 damage to that player.
There's that mono red deck Ray was talking about. You can play all basics.
This card seems pretty spicy right now in the standard metagame, just because everyone, even the aggro decks and everyone else, are playing non-basics. Everyone has either no basics or 1 basic in their deck, whether they're control, mid-range, or aggro. And I think this card can just severely punish someone.
This is actually easier to play around than mana barbs. That's the best part. You can actually build around it. Mana barbs you had to play around. This you can build around.
Yeah, like a mono color deck with this, or even like the mono red deck that splashes a little bit of green for Flamehawk. Like, that would be a perfect fit, because they play, it's like 12 mountains.
Yeah.
So you can just like play this and that, and then you're just killing them, and then on turn 4 after they wrath, you're like, okay, play this, you're at 4, do something.
Pretty impressive.
God, your opponent takes 3 or 4 damage to wrath? Why bother? Just scoop them up. This is great. But is this a main deck card, though?
No.
That's the problem. I don't know. I don't, because you can play around it 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's not any decks in the format, really, that can play around it very well. Like, most decks are running 3 or 4 basics at maximum.
No.
Problem.
Like, most decks play 0 to 2.
Right, but I'm saying at max, at most, they're running 3 or 4.
No, oh, yeah, okay. Outside
you're playing against Blitz or something, and you play this, and because, like, you play this on 4, and they play Hellrider on 4, you just die, even if they take some damage from it. Like,
sure.
Yeah,
when Blitz is gone, and the newest
that
is Theros.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, like, I mean, we're just asking if it's a main deck will card, and, like, at least, you know, for the foreseeable future, I say no, because, like...
So just because, like, there's so much red-green out there, you have to sideboard it, even if you're boarding it in a lot?
There's a lot of decks I don't know that you'd want it against. Like, do you want it against Aristocrats? I'm not sure. Like, yeah. I think it's just, you just want it against Control.
Right. I think,
like, Control and some mid-range decks, like Reanimator, for instance, like, they would get punished severely for this because they're trying to do really big game spells.
Yeah,
this is like, a lot worse. This is like a $5 playset.
Hmm. I'm okay picking him up with that.
That's a B. That's a
$5 playset? That seems extra good.
B plus.
Oh wow, I see this for, there's a $3.50 playset free shipping on eBay. $3.50, guys. At 80 cents, do you want to pre-order this? That's fine. I'll pay 80 cents on Burning Earth.
It's almost verging on an A-plus for me. I can't quite bring myself to it. I know I'm going to regret it. But again, it's one of those things, like, if it's only sideboard, it can't do better than Rest in Peace, which has hit, like, $2-3.
Yeah.
It's I like it. It's Mana Barbs is more than 80 cents, isn't it? Probably. And that's been printed all of the times.
Yeah. It's certainly good.
Like, we saw that sideboard-only cards, like,
hey.
Yeah, for the most part, they're cheap, but, like, I mean, if Rock's Faithmender hit $5, like, I think this could hit $3.
Ryan, were you reluctant to give it an A+?
Yeah.
Fuck it, A+. I said it.
Wow.
I said it. A+ for Burning Earth.
I don't even disagree with it. Like, I don't have the extra money to spend right now that I want to go deep on this card. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to regret it, but I feel like it also may just stagnate out at $2 or $3.
Go to your couch, lift up the cushions. You got a playset of Burning Earth on there.
Well, I'm sure. I'm not saying I'm not going to order any. I'm certainly going to pick them up aggressively pre-release weekend and trade and stuff, but I don't think I'm going to go buy 100 playsets or anything like that.
Okay.
All right, so let's hit the last card in
the Wild Coach it?
Yeah, Wild Ricochet. It used coach to be a sweet pick.
You're pronouncing this weird. Is it a French word?
Yeah.
Ryan, is it French?
It's French for bulk.
Ricochet, it is a French word. No,
this is not bulk. It's a pick. Like, it's much less of a pick than it used to be, because it used to be a sweet EDH card that costs real money. Now it's been reprinted a few times, so it's really cheap, but I mean, it's not bulk, but it's not exciting either.
What's Ricochet pre-selling for? Oh, it's a $3 playset. I guess that is a pick.
Huh. Yep. All right, let's talk about, I think there's probably...
There's green.
Well, there's Young Pyromancer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, everyone's like, oh, vintage. Oh, cool. So only the foils matter?
Yeah,
only the Japanese and Russian.
Yeah, only like the Japanese foils on Young Pyromancer matter.
I mean, so Ray, is this card good?
I want it to be very good. I know Caleb Derwood
does this a lot. Ray, is it good?
You have to build around. That's the thing. Like, all these cards you have to make good. They just like, they're not good in a vacuum. Like, the ability is very, very powerful. But like, an like, Trickery just kills it. A Curse of Deathsold just wipes your board.
Is it good in Legacy?
That's a format I'm just now starting to get into.
This could be good in Vintage, but like, I don't know. Cause like, everyone thought Talrand was the same way. Like, oh, people are talking about Young Pyromancer Gush in Vintage. It's cool, so you're John Medina 6 months ago, or like a year ago with his Talrand Gush deck?
I mean, like, I've heard people saying you want it in Rug Delver and Legacy because like, a bunch of 1/1s are somewhat relevant in that deck and you're brainstorming and getting like, maybe that's a thing? I mean,
I know that Lingering Souls is a beating in Legacy from the few matches that I played the mirror match, and then had something I haven't, like.
So you're gonna jam him in Team Italia?
I heard that.
I don't know. You get a little bit of extra out of Legacy. You get more out of Lingering Souls. I don't know. Like, he just seems like a vintage card. So yeah, pick up all the Russian foils you can.
I'm gonna island walk past it. That's all I'm gonna do.
Oh, shut up with your merfolks.
All right, let's move on. We got Garruk, Call of the Beast. You guys know what he does, then you know what he's saying, and I'm not going to read him, so look it up.
I feel like we talked about him last week, and we pooped on him.
Yeah, we didn't really like him. Where's he at now? Is he, what, a $15 pre-order? 18?
Yeah, he's probably 18 plus.
Yeah, he'll probably dip down to, so I'll give him a D, D minus.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Well, there you go. So we're going to go to the Hydra.
Colonian Hydra, pre-selling it, $20.
Oh my god, I don't care how much I like Colonian Hydra, I'm not paying $20 for this. This is no Voice of Resurgence.
I'm sorry, $24.
Holy.
Man.
Effing S.
I would say sell it.
That's what this card isn't. Voice of
Resurgence. We were talking about before the cast, like you can play, like post-rotation looking at stuff, you can play Exiva, which then when you play this the turn after allows you to swing with it immediately. So you know, that's a thing. It's not a $24 thing though.
Agreed. No way. It's a card I like. I think it's strong. I want to build around it. And guess what? I just gave it an F. That's how this game works.
Yep. You're about right. I'm probably the most excited about this card on the cast. I love this card.
I wanted to get this card at $5. I'm asking to borrow money to buy these at $5.
Marcy, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd sell it. I'd sell it. You got, if you get them, you open the packs, unless you really want the playset, you need to play the deck. Cause, I mean, it may hover there for a little while before it starts to dip off, and it'll dip off kind of slowly, cause it is a powerful card.
We're gonna look like assholes if this hits 70, aren't we?
It could.
Yes, but that's not going to happen, so.
This is probably the most powerful mythic in the set, I think.
Yeah, probably from a pure power level.
Yeah.
Okay, Primeval Bounty. The 6 mana.
What about Ray? We gotta get Ray's opinion on this card.
Ray, what do you think about the Hydra?
I don't like it.
Oh,
like,
fuck you, Ray.
Yeah.
No, like, the whole thing is that, I don't know, I'm pretty spoiled when I play creatures. I don't play creatures that often, so when I do play creatures, they have to be good, they have to do something, and, you have to make sure this guy, first off, resolves, second off, doesn't get killed, and third off, connects to even be good. That's a lot of things that are very hard to do in a standard.
It doesn't have to connect, you just have to attack.
No, it has to connect. Like, if I'm playing it for 5, I don't want to get damaged in.
Yeah. Listen to Esper Control Guy poop on a green creature. What a shock.
No, see, I played creatures. I top 4 to 5k with Rakdos. I know how to attack, I just prefer not to.
It feels bad, you should feel bad if you take out money to buy these even at 5.
Yeah.
Like you're losing
at
your house.
At 5? I think you buy these at 5.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yay for irrelevant hypothetical arguments.
Well, it's going to be 5 at some point, and then we'll see if Jason buys them.
So, Primeval Bounty. I'll
probably buy crack instead, but that's because I'm addicted to crack.
Let's move to crack. That's
fine. Primeval Bounty. How do you guys feel about this card? It's $8 right now.
$8?
Which is at the point where I don't want to buy them. I'm cool trading for the foils for EDH and stuff, because like, I think that card will go nowhere but up. But at the same time, like, I think I'm okay trading for them at 8, because you can get rid of them to all the EDH players, even if it doesn't become a competitive thing, but I'm not super stoked about picking up. This is an absolute C for me.
Alright, so it's a 6 cost green enchantment. When you cast a creature spell, get a 3/3 beast. When you cast a non-creature spell, put 3/1/1 counters on a creature you control, and when a land enters battlefield under your control, you gain 3 life. A mythic at $8, the foil is at 25 on cool stuff.
This spoiler brought to you from a universe where only the people on this podcast have internet access, and all our listeners are like, what does that do?
I don't like it at either of those prices. I think it comes down and then goes back. Like, I think it's probably lower a month after release than it is now. And then from that point, it goes up.
I'm going to wait for this to, like, hit its absolute valley, because I think I want it for my wife's EDH deck, but I don't think I want to be running out and paying, what is it going to be, like $16 for the foil? No, thanks.
I would like it a lot more if the first 2 abilities were switched. Like, I think it would be much better if, you know, you can't commit a creature that turn, or you have to play a spell or something, and you get a 3/3 out of it. Like, that feels much better than just overloading board for a lot.
I mean, that's
if it was
originally templated.
And if it was, control players would be all over this card, and they would be...
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I feel like this card would be a lot better if those 2 were switched.
It seems like one of those cards where they probably had it templated that way, and then, like, somebody like Gavin just destroyed everybody in testing, and they're like, fuck this, and they, like, nerfed it, just so it wouldn't ruin Magic.
Possible. It might have also cost 4 at the time, who knows.
Think twice into this if you had a creature.
Yeah, exactly, spicy. That's what I'm saying.
I'd be playing some Bant.
It'd be nuts. You wouldn't have to play Lingering Souls anymore.
Farseek turn 2 into turn 4 Hunty, or Bounty, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Alright, so I guess, you know, we were all agreeing. C to D, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, SAD.
I like
the card though. It's very powerful.
This is silly. Like, I feel so bad giving a card I like a D.
Yeah, but it's right.
It just feels wrong, but like, that's the rules we came up with.
Yeah. All right, next card, Witchstalker. 1 green, 3/3, hexproof. Whenever an opponent casts a blue or black spell during your turn, put a +1/+1 counter on Witchstalker. I mean, it's probably not getting too many +1/+1 counters, but it's good in the Bant hexproof deck, possibly until rotation. Other than that, like, I don't know, it seems really underwhelming to me.
It's the most hyped of that cycle, that's for sure.
Yeah, and see, I don't know if it's the best,
but it's the most hyped.
Have you seen the art?
It looks like garbage. Cool. You remember those scary stories to tell in the dark books when we were kids?
Yeah, it totally looks like
that. It looks like that guy drew them.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, it looks like he needs a cigar in his mouth.
Oh, it's a card.
Hey guys, I'm 90% head. Just
this
like
card
LSB.
Is the most playable out of the cycle for sure.
You think so?
Yeah.
I like the red one better.
No,
the black one. The black one.
The black one's gonna be played, but like, the thing is that green is heavily played, black is only not as heavily played. And the decks that play black aren't gonna be looking for the black effect that much, or the decks that play green will love these effects. That's
but like, what does this do that Voice of Resurgence didn't do?
Oh, the thing is that some decks don't want voice resurgence.
What do you mean?
Like, this for sure is
decks that don't want to run white, for example.
Still doesn't answer your problems of Terminus. Like, you were talking about a Terminus is, like, what kills those decks.
Terminus kills everything.
Sure, so, like if what, the, where does this help you that it's already, that, like, you're having holes with now?
Because, that, and the fact that it's hexproof. Like I say, he's a 3-3 for 3 and he's hexproof. Like, I have to far and away this guy. I have to make you sacrifice him. I have to wrap the board.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
he's definitely going to be in the hexproof our deck between this and the Glade, or the Glade Scout or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's definitely good in Hexproof. That's what I'm saying. Like, after rotation, though, like...
What does he replace, though? What do you take out in the Hexproof deck? Do you take out your...
One week ago, Ryan said the card was bad in Hexproof.
No, I didn't. I said it's good in Hexproof. Other than that, it's bad.
Okay.
I like this guy a lot. Like, I think he's gonna be Like, he's not a great Sable Stag good, but he's good.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess maybe...
Once again, sideboard.
Oh, God, sideboard. So... What was his pre-order price? I think he was like $97.
Six bucks.
Ooh. Six might as well be 97.
That's definitely F. That's an F. Run away.
Oh my God, F.
Sorry,
I kind of like this card, and I feel really weird giving it like a D or an E, but fuck it, he's an E. He's too much.
I just don't see what holes it fills.
Okay, Savage Summoning. Uncounterable instant for one green. The next creature card. Whoa, 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 hey, whoa, 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 hey. Hey, okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
The next creature card you cast this turn can be cast as though it had flash, can't be countered, and it enters the battlefield with a 1-1 counter on it. I don't know if the Savage Summoning being uncounterable, the creature being uncounterable, and it getting a counter, is that all of that enough to be worth a card?
No.
No.
Certainly like not a $6 card.
Yeah, Quicken, like, I like Quicken in certain decks, and it at
how
least
about
gave you a
we
card.
Lose Cavern? We've been spoiled for a while. When we lose Cavern, are we gonna wanna pay a mana and a card?
No.
I don't think so either, actually. I'm with you guys.
I 100% disagree. I believe any deck that can afford to run green and blue together will be smashing with this in Aetherling. Like, we've been testing it out. It is insane at the end of turn. Cause you can leave your mana up, and if they choose to do nothing, like they're not trying to play a Planeswalker or whatever, you just slam Aetherling with your 8th mana. And it sounds ridiculous, 8 mana, but that's what those matchups come down to.
Yeah, it's definitely good, the control matchups. I know for sure that he, was able to Savage Summon a Voice of Resurgence, and that was kind of, annoying. Also, an Angel. I think it's definitely for the argument though that after Cavern, it's gonna be a thing more so than it is now.
Was Insist played?
What card is that?
Insist is an older card that is this effect, only it's a sorcery, and it cycled. It was 2 mana, or 1 mana. It was 1 mana, and it drew you a card when you played it. And it's at the next creature.
It's a totally different metagame.
I also like Corbin know about an old card I don't know about. I was going to compare this to like Overmaster and sound like a donkey.
Let's compare it to Scout's Warning.
Adam's Veil wasn't really played much either, and it's also kind of the same thing.
Well, the thing is that for one, this can't be countered, and for two, it's an instant, so you can like flash something in that's really big. That's why I think that it gains value. Because honestly, the control matchups, if Block has shown anything, like, Aetherling is the man, and you have to control him. And if you can, like, run him out there and have him resolve, that's going to be a huge threat. Because that was one of the outs, like, was, especially in Black. Like, if they go for Aetherling, then you can, like, Psychic Strike it or Syncopate it. But if you can Savage Summon it into play EOT when you guys are just sitting there doing nothing, you're going to be like, well, this is kind of cool. Now I have to race it.
Yeah. And on top of that, also, if they can't do anything about that first turn, you get to crack in there for 10. And, I mean, they're probably going to have some way to make you blink it to get rid of the counter, but it technically can be a two-turn clock.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to, like, spike at all in the financial, but I think it's going to see our play.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's $6 right now, which I'm probably okay trading with them, because it could be one of those cards that maybe, like, the Pro Tour, where, like, all of a sudden everyone's just running Savage Summoning and Aetherling together, and, you know, it spikes up to 10 or 15, but I highly doubt it. I think I'm probably okay trading
for $15! This is a card that can only go in a green-blue deck.
This is possibly the
most. Absolutely. But
I can't fucking believe we spent this much time talking about Savage Poop on Summoning.
It seems like... Shut up! Yeah, you guys...
Everything you've said was said about Autumn's Veil and Autumn's Veil.
Autumn's Veil.
What are you talking about? No. This
everything you've said about this card, about how it's good against the control decks, blah, 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 it does exactly what you want to protect your guy... Is the same thing that was true of Autumn's Veil, and Autumn's Veil didn't get
played. I will give you money to move on to Aerosol.
In the sideboard of Valakut deck.
To shut up about Savage Summoning. So we can talk about
this card's going to see play.
I don't want to talk about.
Okay. I think
quit whining, Jason. Damn. Quiet.
It's like a dollar card. Even if it's played, it's going to be like a buck or two.
That's fair.
Alright.
He says that's fair, but Ryan said 15 like a second ago.
I know, it's never going to go over $5, even if it does be played. You know, I'm just saying from a player standpoint, yeah, I would not write this card.
I don't think it's going up that much. I think it's going to be playable. Like you said, the Magic community is crazy, and a card seems to be that first week and all of a sudden just skyrocket prices. I don't think it deserves to ever be 15, but I'm not saying it's unreachable based on things we've seen in the past. It's stupid, but it could happen if it dominates the first event or two.
Alright, let's move on then.
Scavenging news.
Garrick's Horde.
Ooze.
I wanted to make the fart noise at Garrick's Horde.
So of the green cards left, Megantic Sliver, I think probably the same stuff we said about all the former Slivers applies. And then Vastwood Hydra is the, it's a 0/0, but it's X, 2 green, comes into play with one X 1/1s. And when it dies, you may distribute 1/1 counters equal to the number of 1/1 counters on it to the creatures you control. I think this is actually worth a couple dollars on pre-order, and I think it follows the Hydra rule in that it's when it, you know, reaches its bottom, you pick them up because people like Hydras, but I don't think it's anything special besides that.
Okay. Into the Wilds?
Meh. So Scavenging Ooze.
It's going to go down, but I don't think it's going to go down far below, like, 15.
It's $20. No, that's the old one, sorry. It's a $14 pre-order on...
Oh, it's a $14 pre-order? Wow, fuck.
It'll go down to 10.
It'll go down to 10 now. Like, yeah, there's no way it doesn't go down. Oh, man, that sucks.
8 to 10.
You pick them up at 8 to 10, yeah.
It's still a legacy card. Scavenging Ooze is quite good, and for four guys who are, like, got pup tents over Deadbridge chant, I don't think we can shit on Ooze too much.
I mean, it's gonna be probably pretty big in Modern. It's already big in Legacy. Like, I think it's gonna go to 8 to 10.
I think it's gonna be really good in Modern. I think they printed an M14 just to make it Modern legal.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably, and it's gonna, I mean, it'll drop to 8 to 10 and kind of bottom out, and then you pick them up, and I think it climbs to 15. Like 12 to 15 in Modern season, and then just kind of up from there.
Okay.
Auto including Jund as well for Standard.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I like this in any deck that can support it over some of the Rest in Peace variants, just because like you feel miserable bringing Rest in Peace in versus Control, just like deal with their Snapcasters and Lingering Souls and stuff, and this feels less bad because you're still attacking with it too. So I mean, like if there's any decks that they can fit in that way, it'll definitely see play in Standard. It's just a matter of like if it sees enough play to keep the price up.
Okay, can we talk about Voracious Worm, like, real quick? That's, like, the only uncommon we're talking about. Besides Mana Weft Sliver, which I think will be, you know, a pick, but not much better. Voracious Worm is, like, it's a grizzly bear, but it enters the battlefield with X 1/1 counters where X is the amount of life you've gained this turn. So that just, it just screams casual, but I don't know. A 2-drop 2/2 that could be, like, a 5 power for 2 mana, that could be good. I want to know what you guys think.
If there was a cheap, affordable way to continue to gain life in a deck that wanted to run green tea, like, I mean, I guess with Blood Artist, but, like, doesn't be anywhere where that deck wants to go. Like, I just don't see a deck where it fits in.
Yeah, like, besides casual, because I know there's, like, a 1-drop enchantment in Zendikar that you could gain, like, 9 life off of or something stupid like that. So there's,
Sure.
Obviously, like, really stupid casual combos, but I don't see anything competitive that, like...
Yeah.
It's not good, like, the fact that it's a grizzly bear isn't good if you have to wait till you're gaining, you have enough mana to also gain life that turn.
Yeah,
it's Sunday, so it seems
really clunky, and, like, it's still just, as shitty an argument as dice removal is, it's still dice removal. So if you're setting up your whole turn to make this guy, like, a 6/6 for 2 mana, and he can just eat a Doomblade in his mouth, I don't know.
Right.
Or if you get the bad half of Far and Away.
Yeah, the bad half of Far and Away. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so moving into the artifacts, I'm going to hit these two together. I mean, really, I guess it could be three. And those are Darksteel Forge, Door of Destinies, and Darksteel Ingot.
Going down.
Yeah, these are all casual cards that have been pretty pricey. I mean, Darksteel Forge, I think, was like $8 or $10 or something. And Door of Destinies, I know, was $6 or $7. These are going to come down. They're pretty similar. I mean, pretty much exactly to like a Chromos Memorial and Gilded Lotus from M13. And that they'll bottom out, you know, a few months after it releases or 6 months after it releases or whatever. But like, I've been all about picking up like a Chromos Memorial and Gilded Lotuses because they're pretty sure bets to go back up over time. And I think the same applies to these casual cards. You know, you just wait for them to hit their bottom and then you pick them back up.
Yeah, people drafted M13 for approximately 45 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Oh, M13 draft. Oh, just kidding. I have a few boxes of Innistrad in the back of the store. Well, what are you waiting for? Let's bust them out.
I remember at the time, people were actually excited about M13 because they hated Avazon's store draft.
Yeah, that's true. Aviator draft was kind of miserable. But
so people were actually excited for M13.
Some stores will have Modern Masters boxes, but like the fact that Modern Masters came out and sort of stepped on like
Dragon's Mace.
Yeah, the whole Ravnica block stepped on its toes. Like I think people will still be a little bit eager to draft that as opposed to Corset. So this will probably get drafted a little bit less than M13 did.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else in the artifacts you guys want to talk about?
Ring of Three Wishes?
It
seems like a bad mythic though. It's like,
yeah, this is like 10 mana just to get one card. And I mean, yeah, you get the long game and then you get,
yeah, it's Aladdin's Lamp.
But this is, maybe a one of in certain decks, certain control.
I don't think so. It's really bad.
Here's your chance to talk about Haunted Plate Mail, Ryan.
It's fine to pick up for $1. I'm absolutely beyond that. I don't want to buy into him at $1. But it's one of those cards, like I said, I think it can see some amount of play. Like, it's not an irrelevant ability. It's very flavorful. It's going to be a casual card. It'll always hold $1. It's never going to be completely bulk. And I think it has potential to be in some form of a construction. I think just for the zero ability. I don't think you pay attention to the fact that it's an equipment at all.
I was actually making fun of you. That wasn't me saying, hey, talk about Haunted Plate Mail for 10 minutes.
That's fine.
Ryan, tell me why this is a casual card. I thought we decided earlier in the cast that flavor doesn't translate into prices.
Ooh, we did! And we're not even talking about Strionic Resonator, which is the actual card that casual players are talking about.
That was what I was going to get to. But...
that card?
I can't wait
to get foil of that.
It looks like it would be pretty sweet as a foil.
Shrinic Resonator copies triggered abilities. It's like Rings of Bright Hearth, and that copy's activated. It's a little worse than that, but, like, it's similar, so I think that's worth picking up. But for real, tell me, make the case for Haunted Plate Mail concisely as to why it's, like, a good casual pickup.
I mean, it's an artifact, and they play all that shit in the, the Voltron decks. All those EDH decks. It'll be just another card that fits into that. And it's another one of those things, like, you can make it into a creature and then Voltron that up. Like,
yeah, I agree. I think it definitely has casual appeal because it's an equipment that's like living dead, but then, or the living equipment of how that
is. It all of a sudden gives you a way that's harder to deal with an EDH to be able to just like strap a guy and turn an attack. Like I'm not saying the card is going to be great or stellar, and it may see some sideboard play and constructed, which could take it above $1. Either way, I have no problem trading for him. I think it's going to be one of those cards that will casually go up over time, like Darksteel Plate and stuff like that.
Okay. Does anyone have any thoughts on Ratchet Bomb, which I think is like $1 or $2 right now?
It's going to go down. That sucks. It's going to be really good. It's going to be a really good card, and it's not going to matter because there are a million Ratchet Bombs out there.
Yeah.
I forgot 600 in on accident to buy a box of promo.
Oh, no.
Your store got 600 in?
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
Don't know what happened, but they got 600. So,
Oops.
Well, you don't have a bunch of them.
So I guess it won't be a real card in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I'm glad Trading Post is back.
Yeah.
I'm glad Trading Post is back in artifact in a set that has like four artifacts that matter.
Yeah, there might be potential in the next one. Maybe.
If Theros gives us some artifacts, I could see that. Like maybe like Jason's Golden Fleece and that kind of crap. Like yeah, like that, like the sort of Greek mythology, like their Perseus's helmet and all that crap. Like if we get some decent artifacts that we don't want destroyed, Darksteel Forge could be good. Trading Post could be good to get that stuff back. I don't know. I kind of like Trading Post and Limited. I could see it in Constructive if we have some decent artifacts.
I love Trading Post when we had the Wellsprings to go with it.
But... Oh, I know. And I missed Trading Post with the Warcoil Engine. It was so much fun. There was mono black Trading Post deck for like 30 seconds.
All right, guys, we have one rare left to talk about. It's a Merfolk. It's a Mutavolt.
It's also a Sliver, Corbin, I think you'll find.
And it's going to go down in price.
It's going to go down. If you have them, sell them.
Sell them hard. This is going to drop harder than
most. If you have
you should have sold them 3 weeks ago when Mutavolt was spoiled.
Well,
so
yeah.
$15 pre-order. And I think we had Chris Anderson on talked about how he didn't think Mutavolt was going to be good in Standard, and I think we mostly agreed because the mana bases are so color intensive right now that a colorless land is pretty hard to fit in pretty much any deck right now. So I agree that it's going to go below 10, at which point you just start stocking up on them.
And there was no bias because like that was about 35 and a half seconds before we ended the podcast, and then when we ended the podcast, they're like, oh, LOL, Mutavault is definitely an M14, which is something we didn't know when we recorded that episode. So that was 100% unbiased on our part. Like, we were just talking hypotheticals.
True. Yeah, I just didn't think they would do it because I thought it was a changeling, but yeah, the way they worded it absolutely fits in here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of glad Mutavault is an M14.
Yeah, I think it was one of those cards that didn't deserve or need to be $40, and like, it needed a price, you know, drop, and like Corbin said, I think you pick them up once they get down to, you know, between 5 and 10. And it's a card that always be good. I think it may see some play after Tavern rotates and you actually have some of those spots free up. Again, just for those control mirror matches, know where you can deal with an opponent's Planeswalker. Like, you can't play Jason -2 it versus me if I have a Mutavault out.
Yeah, I think there's a good opportunity because...
Be able to play your Jace at all because you have colorless mana.
Yeah. How bad this is going to be in Standard is going to actually make people think it's worth less than it is.
Yeah, it's not too good in Standard.
So when it does nothing in Standard, people are like, oh, this card sucks. And then it's actually going to go, the pendulum is going to swing too far the other direction, and that's when you pick them up.
Right, exactly. We hit it out the ballpark with that one. We hit this out of the ballpark.
We're done with M14.
Yay.
I think we're actually done with the podcast tonight, guys. We went a little long, so I don't know if we're going to be playing any games tonight. Corbin got it with us with a little impromptu What's It Worth earlier, and I think we're going to consider that the official What's It Worth for the night.
We'll Jason, thank what's Ray. The
worth? Indestructibility.
Can I, what, huh?
Oh, what's the worth? Indestructibility.
Oh, the white enchantment?
Yeah.
It's worth picking up out of the trash can if you see it in there.
True. It's $1.50.
It's, oh, really? It was, you mean?
Yes.
It used to be $1.50. You live and learn. I've been buylisting a lot of stuff, so I kind of randomly know some of those things that really surprise me.
Fascinating.
But yeah, that's just one of those cards. It's good to know that kind of stuff, Corbin.
I agree.
Knowing how to pick your bulk rares, that's good.
All right, well, let's get out of here. We're running long. We got to thank Ray. Ray, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
And if you're on Moto, check out the Brew Crew.
Yeah. No, don't just say that. If you are a listener of Brainstorm Brewery, you are compelled to join the Brew Crew, which is our Moto clan.
Yep.
You are compelled.
We are going to play. We're going to brew. We're going to get more brewing going on. Even Jason's compelled to do a little bit of brewing so he can help out the Brew Crew.
Hey,
so,
I got a pretty spicy brew right now with Deadbridge Chant and Scavenging Ooze to the surprise of nobody.
So tune in next week and see that along with this Johnny... what's the, damn it, I forgot the card.
Collar of the Pride.
Yeah, come Johnny Collar of the Pride and Demis into Dream, my control deck. It's gonna be insane.
Johnny's going to replace Elspeth. Just watch. Ryan was off by a year, but he was totally correct.
Yeah, he is. It's gonna be in the next Minor Masters, it's gonna be that powerful.
Oh my god. Oh my god, we're done here.
Alright, Marcel, why don't you close out the podcast? Alright, this is Marcel, I'm closing out the podcast. Y'all stop listening right now. It's done. There's nothing more to hear. Ryan's bad at magic.
Alright, yeah, it's not the same. Alright, later. You were good in the beginning.
I tried.
Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.